Wisconsin, and on the free Civic Media app. 105.5 WIRI, Nacoosa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. It's 82 right now.
Afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. Let's get it going. It's a Monday edition of the show. Got your host, James, behind the mic. Solo edition. But I'm not alone. I got all of you to hang out with. Hit us in the numbers. Give us a call. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Get us your sports takes and feelings. Keep in mind, you can also use app. Just call us through there or text us through there. I try to keep an eye on the text line. We'd love to hear from you. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring this hour, giving us a chance to talk sport with you. We look forward to doing just that. Got a couple of things to get into today. Of course, we'll dive into our schedule. Got some great high school action for you this week. A couple of high school games we'll be covering. We'll be diving into that. Badger football. Want to talk that with you guys. Want to know what you're thinking, what you're feeling about that. All those things. And, of course, we have to talk NFL. It is almost mandatory. You cannot call yourself a sports show if you are not covering the NFL. And we'll get to that in a second. But I don't get to do this very often, everybody. I'm going to kick things off talking boxing. Yeah, I know. It's still a thing. People still do it professionally. And sometimes really well. Like what Terrence Crawford did to Canelo Alvarez over the weekend. For those that miss it, big time fight. Quick synopsis. Crawford moves up a couple of weight classes to take this fight. Nobody thinks he should. A lot of doubters. A lot of people just believing that Canelo Alvarez was going to walk in that ring and pretty much take over, as he's done before in the past. He's a great fighter and he's had a great career. But they don't know Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford is comes from a big family and has been fighting for a long time. We'll just say it like that. And an incredible fighter, an incredible fight, what he just pulled off, unifying belts and doing something that hasn't been done in many ways. It hasn't been done in a long time. In other parts, he's the first to do it. Just an exciting fight, and it was cool to see. And very excited to be able to talk a little bit of boxing. Also got to give Canelo Alvarez some credit here. After the fight, no excuses, coming out right away, and not only talking highly of Crawford, but saying that he's a better fighter than Floyd Mayweather, which I could not agree more with. I think when it comes to boxers in human history, Floyd Mayweather is the biggest, most overrated boxer in history. And please, somebody make sure that he hears that, because he's a coward. I don't really care what he has to say. I don't care about his record or how much money he's made. Guys like that, that's what they do. Part of what hurt the sport in some ways, to see a guy like Crawford go out there, a smart fight, a precision fight, old school boxing in many ways, in the sense of he went in there and he was smart with his punches. I don't know why that turned into an old school way of boxing, but apparently saw his moments, took a couple of shots himself. Canelo really, I think, thought that he would be at every point in that fight. I imagine that Canelo thought he could knock him out, that he could still win the fight, especially the way that he was boxing. But Crawford took his best punches literally straight on and just kept coming. It was really cool to see that animal in a fighter again. I don't know that I've seen much of that in recent fighters. And there have been some good fighters out there. But I don't know that I've seen what Terrence Crawford pulled off this weekend and the determination and the hunger in it. I believe his press conference is still going on, and he's still talking highly of himself. So he doesn't really need me to do that. But it was a good fight. And I was excited to see a good boxing match that I actually could talk about. I'm not sure how many of you saw it, how many of you knew it was even going on. I'd love to know if anybody did. And I'm still waiting to see how this did by the numbers and how many people were tuning in for it. But congratulations to Terrence Bud Crawford. A lot of people don't know where he got the nickname Bud from. I will say he comes from a big family, and from what I know from a lot of my friends from the South, when you come from a big family, and if you're the only boy, they call you Bud. If you're the only girl, they call you sis, or if I get that right, I don't know. I'm not I'm from South Chicago, not the South, so I'm not 100% on that one. But from what I've heard, congrats to Mr. Crawford. Let's talk some NFL. And it is week two, and I want to start on positives. I tried to with a great fight right there and everything. And as much as I want to start on positives, before we even get on the airwaves today, I got update after update from ESPN. And I've got Michael texting me and mentioning this. It is not even week. We're not even finished with week two. And some of the biggest stars of the game are got injuries. And those things pile up. Some of them are not, you know, season ending. But nonetheless, going to take you out a couple weeks, couple of games, could cost you a couple of games in the standings, and who knows. For those that have not heard, Commanders Jaden Daniels has a knee injury. His status is very iffy. Joe Burrow, as by now you may have heard, is going to be out with toe surgery for 3 months. And J.J. McCarthy, first-year starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, is going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. And we'll get into this more a little bit later, but even the college football is being seeing a lot of this as well. Locally, even Wisconsin Badgers starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. is very questionable for the Maryland game. More on that later, though. We'll get to that in a little bit. For now, these injuries and how they pile up, how they affect players, how they affect the team, I should say. I think most any coach will tell you that they can survive a couple of weeks. And if a player is out for the season, they will tell you next man up, but they are thinking about things, you know, free agents, trades, all things to try to fix the leak. Because this is what it is to be an NFL team and to have expectations of any kind, or even when you don't have them sometimes. How do you fill this roster? How do you take care of a team? And you have to cut corners, as in, you know, certain positions maybe you don't put as big of a, you know, emphasis on. But when you look at the backup quarterbacks throughout the NFL, there's a couple of teams that are pretty smart about this. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are one of them with losing Joe Burrow, and you saw yesterday what they're able to do with their backup. And what Browning is able to do for you. What Brown is able to do for you, you know, you see where I went there. All right, it was a reach. It was a reach. I admit it. I'm by myself, all right? But Jake Browning, I think a very strong backup quarterback in the NFL. Good work with there and, you know, with the Washington Commanders. Let's see. I'm trying to see who was there. I just saw it. I thought Marcus Mariota is going to start. Marcus Mariota, I think a strong backup quarterback. It's a good fit, good move. He's got a very similar playing style to Jaden Daniels. So the offense hopefully doesn't have to change up that much. And Carson Wentz, who the Vikings signed on August 24th, is expected to start Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals as the battle of backups go at each other in that interesting game, which I was really excited about that game to start the season. Now, I'm excited about it, but it's lost a lot of its power with what it could do. But certainly you got to look local here, and you look at your Green Bay Packers. And I've said this before. I said it a couple of weeks after the trade, a couple of games into the trade, that Malik Willis has the opportunity to be the best backup quarterback in football. And I think he proved that once he went out there and played some games, won some games. And certainly you are expecting and hoping for Jordan Love to play a complete season. But so were the Cincinnati Bengals and the Washington Commies and et cetera and et cetera. You know, going back to boxing, as Mike Tyson would tell you, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. When it comes to this, I don't know if there is a more important backup position in football than the backup quarterback. I've always felt like the most important backups were the offensive line. I personally would be horrible at building a team because I would start my team with building, you know, my offensive and defensive lineup, and I probably wouldn't have any stars. But I'm telling you, I'd have a deep team because my backup left tackle would be able to start anywhere in the NFL, pretty much. Like, that's the kind of team that I would want to build. I don't take away from that. I think that that's still right there. It's very, very important. How good is the quarterback? How good does the quarterback matter if you can't block for him? And you could say the vice versa to that. How you can give him all the time in the world. How good is that quarterback if he can't really throw it or run it or anything? But I think when you're looking local and you're looking at the Green Bay Packers, even if you want to fight me on it, he's the best backup in football or whatever. I don't know that you can fight me on he is one of the best in football. And he's darn good at that. And the relationship between him and Jordan Love has been very strong and good. So you got a cohesive unit there. And that's what you have with this trade with Micah Parsons. You had a unit in a locker room that was already intact and doing well. I think a locker room that was, maybe... I don't want to say they're hoping for the Calvary, but they may have been looking for hope or help and maybe a free agent or something like that. I doubt anybody in the Green Bay Packer locker room knew or had an inkling that they were going to trade for Micah Parsons. That front office keeps things pretty locked down. But you can keep things pretty locked down, but then there's Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, you know, if you're new to sports, let me introduce you to Jerry Jones, who has never heard a word out of Jerry Jones's mouth he did not love. Few people love themselves as much as Jerry Jones, and it just can't help but talk. And so this trade has happened. We are where we are, a couple of games in. Excitement throughout the whole state, excitement with this team, not just in Wisconsin, but for football fans around. It's an exciting time. I think football is better when teams like the Green Bay Packers are good and relevant. I believe this is good for everybody, unless, of course, you're me and a fan of my team. But that doesn't matter. Who cares? Moving on. But let me just point to a parallel universe, another spot in the timeline, where Micah Parsons was not traded to the Green Bay Packers, but to the New York Jets. For star defensive tackle Quinton Williams, and probably first-round picks similar to what Green Bay had. That is where Micah Parsons could have ended up. Playing in the Meadowlands with, I know they're officially called the New York Jets, but if you listen here, you know that I call them the New Jersey Jets. They do not get to be the New York Jets until they have a winning record. I mean, overall, like in their team's history kind of thing. I'm not even just talking about this season. Both New York teams are New Jersey until they're good. This is a wild thing to bring up, a wild thing to tell people. And I'm not sure what the long con here is with Jerry Jones and why he told people about this. And I have to be very honest, too. I'm not surprised very often. It takes a lot to shock me. And I'm not saying that for any reason other than, I would like to be shocked. It's kind of fun. I don't know. Life can be kind of boring when you aren't really surprised very often. But I was a little surprised to not hear about this trade, but that he did not do this trade. Because not only did Jerry Jones trade Micah Parsons to literally the most perfect situation for Micah Parsons, whether he realized it or not, which I think he did, but there's almost no other team that would have been a better fit for him, no other team that was ready to win more, and no other team that needed a player like him more than where he went in Green Bay. But that's not Jerry's style, usually. He likes to trade you to the outpost. He wants to punish you for not wanting to be a cowboy. He wants to come at you. Jerry Jones did this trade with the Green Bay Packers, a team that he is literally just in a documentary on the Netflix, and I didn't see it or anything, but I saw the highlights and I heard others talking about these things where he's talking, like he considers the Green Bay Packers one of the Dallas Cowboys' biggest rivals, and rightfully so. This is the team that stood in his way many times over many years in multiple regimes for both teams. So he makes this trade with the Green Bay Packers, even though I think you can make an argument, and this is nothing against Kenny Clark, but Quinn Williams can be a bit of a freak out there. And him on that defensive line for Dallas, that's impressive. I also think you can, even if you don't agree with me on that, between Quinton Williams and Kenny Clark, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to fight you on that one, but the first round picks, I will. Green Bay's two first round picks compared to the New York Jets' first two round picks are night and day. You're talking about the opportunity of maybe getting into the top 10, at the very least the top 15 with the New York Jets and the Green Bay Packers, where you're probably not even going to, you're going to barely see the first round. So why he made this trade with the Green Bay Packers is the shocking part to me. Not that he came out and said that there were other offers, that the New York Jets offer was very tempting to him about Quinton Williams and two first-round picks, but that he made it with, again, not just the perfect fit for Micah Parsons, so he set up Micah Parsons very well, a guy who didn't want to be a Cowboy, but he also traded him and gave this gift to the one team that has been his team's biggest trouble, biggest albatross in the last 20 years. I don't believe you can make an argument that any other team has gotten in Dallas's way more than Green Bay, even though they're not a division team. Because playoffs are all that matter to Jerry, right? If we're taking them on that, and that, you know, obviously teams like Philly having good runs or something like that stop them from getting into the playoffs. So you certainly can make an argument for that. But once you get into the playoffs, nobody's beaten Dallas. Nobody's broken Dallas's heart more than the Green Bay Packers. And you just traded Micah Parsons to him instead of trading this. Like, that's the part that surprises me. And I just keep on feeling like, does Jerry think he's getting won over on somebody? And what his angle is on this? It's a wild thought to me. It's as wild as the idea of what it was like in the room when somebody told Aaron Rodgers that Micah Parsons just got traded to the Green Bay Packers. And what I would love to have known Aaron Rodgers' reaction to that was. Michael Comer joining us, our sports director around here. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. You know, you said night and day, and I immediately went to thinking about Detroit. They looked against Green Bay and how they looked against the Bears. I mean, jeepers, cripes.
Well, I was saying this last week, and I think other people much smarter than me have been saying this. A team like that was built the way it was is not going to completely fall off the rails.
No.
You got to give them time, just like every other NFL team. We get spoiled by some of these guys and how great they play week one. Josh Allen comes out the gate he didn't take a step off from last year. Then this week comes down a little bit. Lamar Jackson has similar things. All of these players, every single coaching staff need time. I don't care how many rings they got, they need time.
Right.
This is also, though, part of my argument, we'll go away from the Jerry Jones thing.
Well, I had one more thing with that was Jerry maybe did think he knew something more than everybody else. And I think it revolved around Mike Parsons' back. Because, maybe he's sitting there saying, oh, maybe Green Bay's doctors. Because you know there's a physical. There has to be a physical before that trade. Before Green Bay is going to sign off on it.
Yeah.
You know that as well as I do. And if he was thinking, they're gonna miss this, you're going to miss this, and I'm going to take their first two rounders, and they ain't going to hardly see Micah Parsons on the field. Okay, well, that was my best Jerry Jones
very
I got.
Good. I didn't want to roll. You're rolling. But, I didn't want to get in the way.
But no, I think that's what he was banking on. And through two games, you have some guys on the talking head media that sit there and say, well, he hasn't had the gaudy numbers. He's like fifth in sacks. He's fifth in this. And he doesn't have the numbers like his rookie year where he was just the wrecker and everything. You don't have to get big numbers to be an impact player. And he's gotten a sack in each game, at least a half of one. And he's done well. He's disrupted. He's gotten pressure. He's being triple teamed. And, man, if they started calling hands to the face on when you have the ability to rewatch it and catch them, he's probably drawing two or three a game.
Anybody that is wondering about Micah Parsons' stats, I implore you to look at Lucas Van Ness's stats. And how about Rashawn Gary's stats?
Through the roof.
Foes and everything.
Through the roof.
That's the Micah Parsons effect, everybody.
Exactly.
It's the Allen, Mike, and Micah Parsons effect there. So that ability. It's not just his stats. It's everybody else's around him, the rising tide, raising all boats kind of thing.
And another thing with that Jerry Jones is he likes to think every player, especially every big name player, in the NFL is like Toby Keith. should have been a cowboy.
Yeah.
And no, not, some people just don't want to be.
No.
And I think Micah Parsons, he saw what they did to not Des Bryant, CeeDee Lamb. I think it was CeeDee.
Yeah.
He saw what they did to Dak.
Yeah.
And, okay, so you did that for Dak, and he's not even a top-tier quarterback.
Yeah.
And you're going to lowball who is a top-tier edge defensive end linebacker, hybrid position? Oh, come on, Geraldine. Come on.
They got a nice kicker. I'll give them that.
One of the best stuff.
But I don't know really outside of that. Like, what about that team to be excited about or why to watch them for me?
Well,
it's not to say that they don't have good players.
Right.
They don't play exciting football to me. And the thing that I liked about that team was their defense. And now that's in Green Bay to me.
Yeah.
They got, again, don't have a bad defense. Don't even have a bad team. But you had a difference maker on your team and you let him walk out of Dallas.
Yep, just to prove you had a...
Yeah.
You know the expression.
I sure do. And,
so,
that's exactly why he did it. And you know, we've already talked probably too much about him. But what I wanted, and we'll just shift right into talking Green Bay and talking about the Packers. We haven't really gotten to talk about that Thursday game yet. But we'll talk about that. I was starting off talking about
the quarterback situation,
some of that.
I caught that when I was driving in.
One of the things that I was going to mention as far as this team right now and those stats that people are talking about, whether they're raving about them or underplaying them or whatever the case might be, something that I think is important to keep in mind is what I was just talking about and the idea that all these teams need time.
Yep.
My feelings about Caleb Williams have not changed one bit from last season to now.
Right.
Shouldn't. In a month from now, if we still see the same thing, oh, yeah, that's going to change. Oh, I'll bark and I'll give you all the tears you want.
That was
everybody.
A great Kool-Aid man, by the way.
right now, it's too darn early, and I don't buy anybody that does take, fire the whole team, blah, 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 or whatever. Now, there are certain teams, like I think the Miami Dolphins, you can make an argument
you've
about.
You've seen the writing on the wall.
You've seen this for a couple of seasons
now. Mike McDaniels project's probably on its last
legs. I got to think it is, and I don't know where he gets into not a head coaching job again. I don't know if he's going to get another gig, not anytime soon at least.
I think some coaches are just better coordinators. Vic Fangio was one. Oh, Buddy Ryan was one.
Yeah.
And I like Buddy Ryan, just the old school style he was. But looking at those injuries, man, it hurts the league in that regard because you want to see the best games. You want to see the best of the best. A McCarthy against Burrow matchup, you'd have me tuning in to watch some of that.
Yeah.
I'd watch some of that. That'd be all right. Now we're getting Wentz and Browning.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's kind of a lackluster there. And you look at it trickles down to other positions. I was looking here on my phone because the fantasy football. Why else wouldn't? So I'm watching that yesterday, and I'm like, I was fortunate enough in a couple leagues to draft T.J. Hockenson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, and that's where we talked a little bit on Friday during the Port game about tight end position.
Yeah.
And Hockenson, along with LaPorta, are two of the best that I think we could put in the top five.
Definitely.
And I'm looking at both their numbers through both the first 2 weeks.
Mm.
Horrible.
Yeah. It's rough.
And this genius sitting in this chair also has Tucker Kraft on a couple of those teams and played Hockenson instead of Kraft.
I got a couple of those I did too this week.
Yeah, I mean, everybody gets them. But I've learned my lesson that I'm putting Kraft in there pretty quickly. But not about Kraft. It's just you got to look at those positions and then look who they have throwing the ball.
Right, right.
And McCarthy, he's a young guy, and he's got so many weapons around him that Hockenson's stock might go down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And now Aaron Jones also has a hamstring issue, I thought I saw. Well, surprise, surprise. And then you see Jair Alexander's still got knee problems, surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. How many of these moves did Green Bay make that did they catch a lot of hell for? Excuse the language. But excuse the language, of course, but catch a lot of crap, that's a better word.
Yeah.
And they're working out. Yeah, you got to give credit where credit's due with Goody and to Murphy, and maybe a little bit Edward Policy.
Well, this is the kind of stuff that we used to rave about New England about.
Yeah,
that we couldn't go bend over backwards enough to give Bill Belichick credit for getting rid of this guy a year before everybody else would have and stuff. And it's something that Green Bay has done for two seasons.
Sometimes you got to be shrewd and watching the little bit of the Dallas game. I mean, everybody's gassed at the end of that. So Kenny Clark, he's tired. I don't blame him. But I'm interested to see what he does in America's Game of the Week next week when they're in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what they do there. But you have all these teams that the positions are going to be quote unquote going down in stats.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at Hockenson in Minnesota. Now you're looking at Cincinnati. Okay, Cincinnati, what are they going to be doing there? They've got all kinds of guys that can grab the ball and run the ball. Well, you got Browning, who there's a reason why he's a jump-around guy. Because he's good, but he's not consistent. The man.
Yeah, he's not consistent.
Tannehill, he was another one that was just like that. Good, but not the man. Marcus Mariota, good, but not the man. Jaden Daniels, I mean, Mariota, that's who's there, right? Correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he's got McLaren, he's got Debo, he's got a bunch of guys that can straight up ball. Just watched him on Thursday.
Yeah.
But are they going to be able, do they have a guy that can get them the ball? So you look at Brock Purdy, too. But the thing that I look at some of these injuries and some of these guys, they are injury prone. Joe Burrow is injury prone. Okay. McCarthy, I hate saying it, but to this point of the short career, injury prone. That might not be fair because it's such a short sample size, but he missed all year because of an injury, and now he's missing more time with an injury. Daniel? Jaden Daniels?
The only thing I didn't like about Jaden Daniels coming out of college is his body and his physique.
Right.
The ability of him being able to withstand this. He put on 10 pounds in the offseason. It slowed him down a tiny bit, and that tiny bit is the difference between you and a defensive lineman taking you at the heels.
Right.
I don't feel good about that going forward for him. I know he had an amazing rookie campaign, and everybody wanted to laugh at the Bears and all that.
Yeah.
This is the way I felt from day one. We'll see how he goes. It's not a year-ending injury or anything like that.
No. Purdy as well.
Yeah, and we didn't even get a chance to mention Brock Purdy yet. Yeah, there's another one. I do have something I want to get to about this in a moment, and I did want to mention real quick when I was talking about giving these teams time and these coaching staffs time. It's on one side of things you can make that conversation where with Detroit and their coordinators and the difference of Jekyll and Hyde of week to week, or even with Chicago and how bad they have looked, and hey, you got to give them time. There's also the other side of this where you look at
how much time do you need?
And look, that thing is, that leash is shortening up quicker and quicker. But look at Green Bay and look at what they've done in just the time they've had. What will they do with more time?
It's kind of scary.
So it's kind of cool to think of, I think, when you take that big time picture, big third perspective of it. Let's go ahead and take a call. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
No, not too shabby. I do have some good Viking news. Well, not good Viking news, but I was just watching. J.J. McCarthy is out for 2 to 4 weeks, and Carson Wentz is going to be our starting quarterback.
Yeah, you just saw it, huh? Yeah. It's, what are you thinking? What do you think of that? Carson Wentz was almost an MVP conversation there.
And you can't forget Aaron Jones. He's got a leg going on right now, too.
Yeah, he's hurt it, too.
And the offensive line kind of.
I don't even want
to get started on the offensive line play last year.
Well, I get it.
But here's the thing with Minnesota I'm really curious about, because I don't trust the national perspective team in the Midwest, basically. I just don't trust their perspective on it. But when it comes to actual Viking fans out there, what were your expectations for this season? Because I don't know that this injury is, one, probably shocking to Viking fans, or two, like, okay, it sucks, but we just keep moving. I mean, because I don't know what the expectation was for this team. What were your expectations for them?
Well, I can't say that I was expecting them to replicate what the record was last year.
Right.
For like a 12-5 maybe. But I don't know. I had high hopes for JJ. I just don't know if this high ankle sprain is an actual ankle sprain or if they're just saying, "Whoa, slow it down, buddy. We got to put in the vet."
Yeah, I don't know. And, it reminds me, you know, if that's the case, it could be a little, we got to send him to AAA for a couple of games and let him, that kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like send him down to the minors type thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I will say that again, you know, none of these players, can we count them out? I don't think we've seen the best of this person or that person or anything like that, but it has been a while for me since I've seen a quarterback with his eyes that big. But that was in the Chicago game. I saw that. And he righted that pretty well and got, you know, into his groove and everything. I will say he is playing, he is a Chicago kid. I mean, that played into it a little bit for him. I think that helped a little bit for him. That helped him focus a little bit. You also have a defense with a new defensive coordinator and a coordinator like Dennis Allen that if he isn't trying to go take the quarterback's head off, I don't know what else he's doing. I don't know that Dennis Allen knows how to do anything other than try to kill the quarterback. I actually don't mind Dennis Allen, but I feel like that's the only thing he knows how to do as a defensive coordinator, basically. So I
must say, I was thinking of you when I was watching the Vikings-Bears game on Monday night.
Oh, yeah. It was rough. I got a lot of texts that night. I didn't get any when the Bears were winning. Of course, I never get any messages then, but as soon as the Bears started it looked like they were going to lose.
Well, that's where the joke comes in. Well, they got to be winning for you to get. Never mind. Nicely done.
You took the opening. You had an opening. You took it. We appreciate the call, man. You have a good one.
Yeah, you as well. And I don't want to jinx them, but how about them Brewers, man?
Yeah, how about them Brewers? Playing well. Call back anytime, brother. We'll talk soon. You have a good one. We will take our commercial break. We'll come back with more Playmakers where we speak sport.
What's faster than a speeding bullet and more powerful than a locomotive? Your potential when you partner with WAM Incorporated. WAM Inc. is your source for promotional power. From custom apparel, pens, tumblers, magnets, and beyond, we've got everything needed to win the day. You can also soar onto our new website, whaminc.com. WAM Inc., for the hero in you.
Are you looking for ways to give back to your local community? Use volunteerwisconsin.org to find opportunities to volunteer your time with organizations making a difference near you. As we celebrate United Ways Month, we're also celebrating you. Visit volunteerwisconsin.org or get in touch with your local United Way or Volunteer Center to find out more about local opportunities to get involved. volunteerwisconsin.org is hosted by United Way of Wisconsin and Serve Wisconsin. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have you been pushing off your landscaping for years? Call First Class Lawn Care. They strive to work with you and make your landscaping dream come to life. They have a great fall cleanup special going on right now. Schedule for your leaf cleanup and mention WIRI. You're going to get 10% off your quote. 715-572-7970. First Class Lawn Care, proud sponsor of the new Country Top 3, Friday afternoons on 105.5 WIRI.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. It's 82 right now.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. Hope you all are having a good Monday afternoon out there. Michael and James hanging out with you over here. We'll get into some college football in a little bit. We're talking local sports as well, so we got to get into our schedule here. Want to do all that. Real quick, just going back to our last topic about quarterbacks and everything. Sports talk is all about getting takes out there before anybody else and being right and blah, blah, blah. Yep. We want to fit in with all the other sports shows and everything, so got to get a take out there. I was watching some of the Sunday night game last night, and certainly not the competitive game that we were hoping for, but
field goal, the kickers had a good competition.
Well, and man, I got to tell you, if you are a fan of young talent, Atlanta is a pretty fun watch right now.
Yeah, they are.
And I liked Michael Penix in college. I love Bijan Robinson. Kyle Pitts, I think, like a lot of us, have been
up
waiting
and down,
to see him
waiting for it.
Turn into something. Yeah. So that was fun to me, just to
Didn't
see.
Did he start in Pittsburgh?
Kyle Pitts?
Pitts. Yeah.
Nope. He's been in Atlanta his whole career.
Okay.
He's on his last year of his contract, too.
Okay,
so,
maybe. Yeah.
When I was watching this, and I'm getting these updates throughout the day about injured quarterbacks and everything, I look at this team in Atlanta, and I think, oh, my God. I owe the Atlanta Falcons an apology, and I would like to be the first in sports talk radio to apologize to the Atlanta Falcons, because when they made that pick for Michael Penix, it was a fool's move that we all agreed was a dumb move, and silly and all that for all these different reasons. And sure, you had some people saying, well, what if Cousins gets hurt and he has an injury and blah, 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 but those are just people trying to cover their bases. Nobody really felt that. They all believed in the same thing. Here we are where I'm telling you one of the most vital, important positions in all of football is QB2, mm-hmm. and not enough teams care or pay attention to, or just can find one even maybe. And here Atlanta's sitting there with Kirk Cousins as their backup quarterback, and sure, not prime Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, it's
or
not prime Kirk O'Chains,
but
man,
if you got to call Kirk Cousins out of the bullpen. Nah, I don't think you might get. I mean, I'm not asking him to start.
You can catch
18
lightning.
Games. Yeah, I'm not saying 18 games, but I mean, Kirk Cousins compared to every other backup quarterback in football, not compared to starters, but compared to all the number twos in football.
Right.
He's got to stand out pretty good. He's got to be pretty good right there.
I think so.
Now, I'm on record as saying that Kirk Cousins will never win a Super Bowl. So
he's there.
Yes. Yeah. So I genuinely like. I'm saying this 50% a joke and 50% actually true. Like, man, I kind of apologize to Atlanta. Now, I think that this comes with the caveat of, boy, did they luck out. And, man, this had a lot to do with luck.
Yeah.
And all that. But that being said, I mean, I don't blame, and I wonder if that's something we're going to see more of, and not just where it's the Green Bay Packers and everybody knows they're grabbing a kid that's going to sit for 2 years, but the teams grabbing a first-round quarterback, and I'm not saying in the top 10, but you know, you're drafting late in the rounds and everything, and you're looking at your draft board. Who's the highest player on your draft board? It's a quarterback. Well, traditionally, you move on to position players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're going to move on anymore. I wonder if teams that even have a 5-6 year good starting quarterback, if you're Cincinnati, if you're Washington, if you're some of these teams, and you look at it. Years ago, we made fun of Washington for doing this with RG3 and Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And that kind of worked out for them. So I guarantee that there's somebody out there that could give me 20 different examples of this not working out, or what's happening in Cleveland right now, where who knows who's going to be the starting quarterback.
That was one thing I want to talk about at some point this week, is you got to think about this. You know, we saw with Green Bay's defense, Goff, you know, Goff being there and not being mobile and feast up on him. Okay. All right. Then Daniels would be the question. He can move around. Can they feast on him? They did. And now you got to think Green Bay going to Cleveland with Joe Flacco.
Oh, God. Poor Joe. I got nothing against Joe Flacco, man.
Me either. I like Joe Flacco.
I like Joe Flacco. I like Delaware.
He's like Nickelback. I don't know why everyone rags on him.
I feel bad for Joe Flacco right now.
But think about that. And then you got the one that's really going to be a tense game.
Like, I'm not kidding. I genuinely feel bad for Joe Flacco right now. Like, I literally feel bad for the guy. Like,
I'm picturing,
he's getting paid a lot of money to do what he does, but still, that's...
I'm picturing Duke from the Rocky movies, they're training Apollo Creed, just saying, throw the dang towel!
Just throw the towel! Throw the towel! So apologies to Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. Moving on to somebody that I will never apologize to, no matter whatever happens in life. And just like I don't think that Kirk Cousins will ever win a Super Bowl, I don't believe that Brian Kelly will ever win a national championship. I firmly believe, and I'm not using this as a hot take. This is
I had to go back and figure out who he's coaching for again.
I shift gears right into college football and Brian Kelly over at LSU right now. Wherever Brian Kelly is right now, I guarantee he's red-faced.
They're ranked, what, third now?
Yeah, I believe so, or something. Brian Kelly has a knack for, barking at reporters and journalists
and all that. Yeah.
He does this all the time. He's certainly not the only coach to do this. But he is arguably, and you know what? I did a little homework on this one, but I will tell you, I did not do a deep dive on this one. So if somebody has a better name, I will take it.
Okay.
But I believe that Brian Kelly is the whiniest college football coach of all time. All time.
Ooh.
All time.
Ooh.
Like, Brian Kelly cannot quite... He throws his players under the bus every chance he gets. He cannot help but... like, every football coach, it's us against the world. Brian Kelly, it's even my own team is against me. He cannot help himself this way. He will treat these athletes like they are children forever, even when they are grown men bigger than him. He...
Or 40.
He, to me, has no ability to keep his cool. No ability. What is something that we ask of athletes this last week?
You're
talking about
keeping your cool and all that stuff and everything. Don't let the moment get too big, that kind of stuff.
I grew up seeing Mike Ditka lose his cool every 5 seconds. I understand that coaches can win like this and everything. Mm-hmm. I also saw one of the cooler, calm, collected coaches in
Lovie
football.
Smith.
With in Mike Ditka. No, in Mike Ditka.
Oh, okay. I thought you were transitioning to a different coach.
I could. And you know, Lovie, yes, absolutely was that, but almost too much. That.
Sometimes.
With Mike Ditka, I don't think enough people realize the strategy of what he did and why he would lose his cool sometimes. And, hey, Jim McMahon just had a horrible game, but they're not talking to Jim, they're talking to Mike, because Mike is throwing out the sound bites and taking the bullets for his quarterback and everything. Not to give him too much credit, because Ditka also liked his own voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying anything, you know, he's doing anything too noble here, but he did have a strategy there to some of that. Brian Kelly is just about Brian Kelly. And Brian Kelly, to me, the way he handled his press conference recently, it was just a simple question, man. It was enough for me. It was already a last straw for a long time ago with him when he was at Notre Dame. But at now especially, where this guy, to me, that temperament, not even in a game.
Yeah.
The way he's handling after a win, the press conference, he can't help himself. This is the kind of person he is. And please, somebody write this down, and you could throw it in my face if I'm ever wrong. But I don't believe that as a head coach, Brian Kelly will ever win a national championship. I don't think that guy has it in him. The guy had Jaden Daniels 2 seasons ago, and look what he couldn't even do anything with that. Like, you can give him all the talent in all of Louisiana, and he ain't going to be able to do it.
Yep, and he's one of those that I'm picturing it in my head right now. why Ditka took the heat for McMahon? We got a young quarterback who's trying to figure things out. And I'm thinking in terms of Ditka, with 1985 being in every other word, but he. I don't need a young quarterback getting asked these questions and feeling worse about his performance today than he needs to, any of that. I'll take the blame, and they're going to forget about him. They're going to come after me for being a jerk. And Kelly, on the other hand, and I haven't listened to the clip, because I'm sure there is one.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm thinking he's doing the total opposite of, Coach, why did your quarterback throw 2 picks and blah, blah, blah?
They're asking about the running game, but okay.
Well, either way, or why isn't the running game getting going? And instead of saying, well, that's one thing about in film study that I've sat in on it. We've looked at this, and this is the coach the answer that should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm given that. You know, us as coaches, we've looked at this and blah, 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 fill in the answer. I'm not going to ad-lib that. But what he's doing is... Well, he's on there in the field, and he's supposed to be going through these spots, and he's not. You ask him.
Yeah.
And that you do not throw. And I understand they are got them sounding like Bobby Bowden. They're still kids. They're still learning. They're just kids. You can't. You don't do that to your players.
I don't care if you got nothing but 40-year-olds in that locker room. You don't do it.
No,
I certainly don't when they're kids. Yes, right. Especially. And yes, I will note that Brian Kelly has come out and apologized, quote unquote, apologized to this reporter.
No good.
Certainly, 24 hours later, if not longer than that, like a day or two later, and after a bunch of boosters got in his ear and told him to. This isn't he did this or anything. Brian Kelly is a coward, and I think he's the whiniest coach in NCAA history in football. And I don't think he's ever going to win. I look forward to talking more and better college football. Maybe this Wednesday we'll have more time for him,
Michael.
Well,
I'm down with that.
I want to get into that more, but I definitely want to make some time for our high school schedule. And you said you wanted to talk a little Cleveland-Green Bay game and stuff coming
up. Yeah, of course.
So let's talk high school first. And get to that.
Talk about it all, man.
We can do that. We can do that. We'll fit it all in. We got 15 minutes. We got plenty of time. We got Thursday, this 6:50, Assumption at Port Edwards Girls Volleyball. You were joking in our meeting a little bit earlier today. Somebody's got to come away with a win on that one.
Yeah, we've unfortunately, whether it's volleyball and upcoming soccer, too. We've got soccer up on the pipe here. But all the games that we broadcast, the teams that were there for Lincoln, Nakusa, Port, Assumption, they've lost.
Yeah, it's been
so,
rough. That's
so pretty
rough.
Soon they're not going to allow us back in the gyms.
No, we're not going to be
James.
Able to. No, no.
Gyms, James.
It's hard to blame them. But we will always broadcast, even if we're outside the stadium.
Yep.
We'll make it up. We'll do our best.
We'll use our x-ray vision and make it up.
This game, it does look good. Both teams, though, hungry for a win, to say the least.
They have met earlier in the year in a triangular, and it went the full three, because when they do triangulars like that, they don't do five, they do three sets. Three sets for the match. And this one will be a five if it needs to be. And that one went 2-1 to Port, who, if you follow volleyball around the area last year, Port really had a rough year. And this year, they're doing a little better. And it's good to see, especially for a really small school like Port. Sometimes kind of get out of their own way sometimes. So I'm really excited to see that one. Assumption, we saw them last Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday.
Yes.
And it was a rough one against Newman, but Betty Lang's always got Newman ready to go. Looking forward to seeing how Assumption is growing in this time, and getting to see a good rivalry of two teams about 3 miles apart on the river.
Yeah, looking forward to that. I'm certainly looking forward to the call of it and everything, because I've been enjoying the volleyball on the radio. It's a lot of fun.
I'm flying solo this time. Beth has some obligations, and I'm like, well, we could cancel. I'm like, no, we need to get these two teams on together. And so, come hell or high water, we're gonna do it.
That's what we appreciate about
you. We're going to do the best we can.
You know, the team around here, and I think our listeners appreciate that we're going to go out there and get these games, and we're going to do our best to get you these games and do what we can to get you these games. Again, this Thursday, 6:50, Assumption at Port, Girls Volleyball. Mike and Laura are going to have that one for you.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, 6:50, Abbotsford at Assumption Football. Mike, Randy, Seth going to be having this one for you.
Yeah, that's one where if you were to tell me, this sounds like an ESPN 30 for 30. If I was to tell you that out of all the teams in our local areas, our four local teams, the team that hardly has enough bodies to field a team is going to be the only one with wins.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have believed you, but boy, the Royals, they've made me look like I don't know what I'm talking about, which that's debatable. But boy, I mean, a big win against Pacelli, overtime win against iScan. In the words of Randy Paul.
Yes, yes.
Boy, they're showing me something. Now, they've got a different animal here. It's a Falcon, obviously, but Abbotsford's really good.
Yeah.
And they returned a lot from last year when they beat Nakusa, I think, and they went to level 2 or 3. I can't remember off the top of my head. But Abbotsford's going to be a different animal, but they're coming down to Southwood County, and we'll see what the Royals do for them, because if the Royals play like they have, no turnovers, just get 3, 4, 3, 5 yards a game, just keep in front of them, score when they have the ball and eat up clock, they're going to make Abbotsford a little jumpy and play physical. And that's the big thing that the Royals have to do.
I'm looking forward to this one. Honestly, I gotta say, you can go ahead and just put that in a sounder for every Assumption game this year. I feel like each one of these are going to be unique and exciting for their own reasons, yep. Whether it's a win or it's a loss. And I think that they proved that to us right away this season.
Here's one thing. We're getting to be that very important time of where teams are going to be eligible or ineligible for the playoffs, because you have to have a 500 record.
Mm-hmm.
4-3, because it's a 7-team conference yeah. record. Right now, if you were to just look at the schedule, the Royals already have 3 wins in conference standings. That last game of the year, they're not playing one, but that goes as a forfeit because of Rosholt.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat Pacelli and they beat Iola Scandinavia. So they're sitting at 3 wins. Now, let's just say Abbotsford gets them. Edgar gets them. I mean, Edgar's really good. No disrespect to Assumption.
Mm-hmm.
And Auburndale. So you're sitting 3-3. The one game that could decide it, if they get in the playoffs, Mr. James J.,
mm-hmm.
the one that we hope to have on the airwaves here,
mm-hmm.
Pittsville.
Wow.
And Assumption.
Wow.
That game could decide whether they get in the playoffs or not.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so interesting. That's going to be fun. Man, I cannot wait. We are going to be covering these games. We're going to get as many of them on the airways as we can for you, everybody. We got 2 this week. Volleyball, football, this Thursday, 6:50, Assumption at Port. Mike and Laura are going to have that for you. And then this Friday, 6:50, Abbotsford at Assumption. Mike, Randy, and Seth tag teaming that one for you right here at 105.5 WIRI. We'll take our final timeout, come back, and wrap up the Monday edition of the show.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve 0 preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
The green and gold, tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all 3, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
This is 105.5 WIRI.
Yeah, my whole life sounds like the rain.
WIRI on your radio at 105.5 FM and wherever you are with the free Civic Media app. Download it now in the Google Play or App Store.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. An isolated storm or two this evening, otherwise mostly clear, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the upper 50s to 60. Sunny, hot, and humid tomorrow. Highs in the mid-80s. Chance of storms again Wednesday. Temperatures cool at the end of the week. It's 82 right now.
Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers here at 105.5 WIRI. Got a good 5 minutes left in the quarter. We're going to take it right up to the top. Laura's got some great music for you coming up.
Always does.
Thanks for joining us. Let's wrap up last couple of minutes we have. Give an early preview of Green Bay at Cleveland. Noon this Sunday, Michael. I want to just throw a quick story of the show in, though.
Go for it, buddy.
For those that didn't see this report from Adam Schefter, the Baltimore Ravens actually planned to take Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round, but before Baltimore could turn in their card, and I mean right before, like literally right before, the former Colorado star let it be known that he didn't want to be on the roster with Lamar Jackson, where he would be a backup. So Sanders wound up going three picks later to Cleveland, where he is currently backing up as the third string quarterback. I have nothing against Shedeur Sanders. I am not one of these people looking to pile on the young man or anything, but I hope that this is used as a warning to these young players that you don't control your own destiny. Whether that's fair or not, that's a whole other show that we don't have enough time for. But it is what it is. This is the model you've got to work within.
Yep.
And if I am an adult in that room, and let's say that you let that happen. He's a grown man. He makes his own decisions. Mm-hmm. But if you were not in his ear as a father, as a former NFL player, getting on him about what are you doing?
Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. You had a chance to go to arguably one of the top three, top five best organizations in football, Baltimore Ravens. Please, somebody fight me on that. You would have a chance to go to that organization? I mean, backing up Lamar Jackson doesn't mean that you'll never play. We haven't seen that. Lamar's gotten hurt before.
Oh, yeah.
And you would think that he knows, okay, if I don't go to that team, I'm going to go to a worse team because there's not many teams better than Baltimore. And I'm not going to have the weapons. I'm not going to have the offensive line, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I shouldn't have to explain football to these people. It is mind-boggling to me. It was almost as surprising as the whole Jerry Jones didn't trade Micah to New Jersey and all that.
Right.
So I was a little surprised by that. We will see if Shedeur Sanders gets into the game against Green Bay, and I say that because they've got and I like Joe Flacco, but he's a little younger than me, and he's out there playing quarterback right now.
Well,
and their backup is also injury-prone in Dylan Gabriel.
Yes, and that was the one thing is yesterday they pulled Flacco and put Gabriel in. And that was a lot of the talk of what got me started on it was, so Joe Flacco doesn't play on Sunday against Green Bay. You put Dylan Gabriel, and I like Dylan Gabriel, but you put him out there against that Packer pass rush.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm Stefanski, what the better option is in that regard.
I'd go Flacco personally.
I'd go Flacco, yes, but I also don't blame him if he throws Dylan Gabriel out there either. To be honest,
I mean, if it gets out of hand,
you can make an argument that even though he doesn't have the experience and the wide eyes and everything, that younger body, he's faster and can take the hits better than Joe Flacco.
Right.
So I don't know. I can't imagine what you're thinking going into that game, though. I'll say that. I don't know what they were doing to begin with, though. You've got an organization where the head coach did not want to draft a player, and he went as far as to draft a kid at that position just in hopes, in logic, that, oh, well, they'll never grab another quarterback. I already grabbed one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they grabbed another quarterback. After signing and trading for two other quarterbacks.
Hard telling, buddy. I don't understand what they do in Cleveland.
Everything I said earlier about how important the quarterback position is, how key this backup quarterback position is, it is not about, okay, I'm just going to grab 20 guys and let them, throw a pool cue in the middle of all of them and let them, hey, less man standing is our quarterback. Like, that's not how you do this. Like, that's not how a smart organization runs things.
Right.
I like Cleveland. I want to root for Cleveland. What I said about Green Bay earlier, about the NFL is better when they're good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing. The NFL is better when teams like the Cleveland Browns are relevant.
Yes, 1966.
It's been a while. I don't know. I'd like to see them do something. I don't think it's going to. I don't think it's going to start this Sunday, though. That's for sure.
You never know.
I will say that I would keep an eye on Myles Garrett in this game, and a guy like that that's got nothing to lose. And let's say he doesn't play dirty. He's a straight up good player.
Green Bay is going to have to be ready. Because what they can do, he can do.
That's not to say they have any chance of losing this game. I just mean...
You never know.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. You never know. But I
said this game could be a trap game going into Dallas.
I could see that. I could see that. I could see them, you know, going into the third quarter or coming out of the third quarter, maybe up or down a score. But I don't see them losing it. I but we'll see. You're, like you said, you never know what can happen. What I would say, though, is what my concern would be is guys getting, you know, banged up because of some of the, you know, the they got some wreckers on that defense. They got some nice players on that defense.
Yeah, they do.
I also would like everybody to keep an eye on Dylan Sampson, one of my favorite rookies in football. I was a big fan of his in college, and I'm excited that he's getting this opportunity at Cleveland for how little it is or whatever it's worth. I think he's a player worth watching. Michael, thanks so much for pitch hitting today.
No problem, buddy. Glad to be here.
We got great high school volleyball on the radio. It's Thursday, 6:50, Assumption at Port Edwards, right here at...
Live from Central Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app, 105.5 WIRI, Nakusa, Wisconsin Rapids, your home for country favorites and classics. This is 105.5 WIRI.
Hello and welcome to Laura's Lounge on 105.5 FM WIRI. My name is Laura and I'm happy to be here with you on this Monday evening. I hope you all are having a good time. Let's kick the show off for the week with Ella Langley.
Wouldn't paint me as a heartbreaker, but I've said